Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters and a Twisted Mister, or two. I hope everyone's having a great week. I hope you're enjoying the Christmas shows. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight's poetry. Hey, Pam. Hey, Naomi.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Naomi.
Hi.
Good to hear you both.
Hi.
Good. Everything. Hello,
We have Luron
with us as well.
Hi, Laurent.
Good evening. Good evening. Merry Christmas.
Laurent's back. Merry Christmas.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, Pam, tell us a little bit about this artist that you found.
Okay, well, Tom Shropshire is a current artist. He's still living, still working. He was born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. His artwork is described as abstract to traditional with a contemporary twist and often includes elements of myth, dreams, or fantasies. And yes, I did write this stuff down, so I have something to tell you because I knew you were going to ask. And his career actually began at the age of 13, and by 15, he had an agent in Chicago and a solo art show. A quote by him that I decided to share because I can totally get behind this quote is, "I like good art and a good bourbon, wood fire, and a good story." And I say amen to all of those.
There you go. Win there. Ah, absolutely. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Now,
I really like his work.
Yeah, I like the pictures she shows very much. And just so you know, while you were telling us about your artist, I picked up Randy G. So hello, Randy.
Oh, awesome.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, Randy.
Glad you could join us. Yeah. How's it going?
Glad to be here. Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Well, Pam, it's your baby, so whatever you want to do, you just let us know.
All right. We're going to go ahead and start with a classic poem, Snow, by Archibald Lampman. And, Laurent, would you give that a read for us, please?
All right. Let me just get where I need to be. Mm-hmm. Okay. Snow, by Archibald Lampman. White are the far-off plains, and white the fading forests grow. The wind dies out along the height, and denser still the snow. A gathering weight on roof and tree falls down scarce audibly. The road before me smooths and fills apace and all about. The fences dwindle and the hills are blotted slowly out. The naked trees loom spectrally into the dim white sky. The meadows and far-sheeted streams lie still without a sound. Like some soft minister of dreams, the snowfall hoods me round. In wood and water, earth and air, a silence everywhere. Save when at lonely intervals some farmer's sleigh, urged on with rustling runners and sharp bells, swings by me and is gone. Or from the empty waste I hear a sound remote and clear, the barking of a dog or call to cattle sharply pealed, or an echoing from some wayside stall or barnyard far afield. Then all is silent, and the snow falls, settling soft and slow. The evening deepens, and the gray folds closer earth and sky. The world seems shrouded far away. Its noises sleep, and I, as secret as yon buried stream, plod dumbly on and dream. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Laurent. This isn't obviously a Christmas poem per se, but I thought it fit really well with the artwork because of the artwork is painted up from a lot of the areas of Wisconsin, New York, Illinois, and so you know, I just thought this was absolutely beautiful. I like how there's a kind of that it reflects the stillness and the silence of when you're taking a walk on a winter evening and the snow is newly fallen. And, you know, I just really felt like it had just beautiful use of language and rhyme. So very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Yeah, well, I love it. There's some awesome lines, metaphors in here. The meadows and far-sheeted streams, far-sheeted. Wow, that's amazing. And the farmer's sleigh with rustling runners and sharp bells swings by me, and he brings in the barking of a dog. The cattle in here, the barnyard far afield. And, you know, it's just, you feel the country, you feel the winter, you feel you're just there, you know. This is a lovely, he writes lovely, like, he makes me think a bit of William's Wordsworth, a bit, with his daffodil poem. Yeah, kind of like that used to be my favorite poem when I was a teenager, and the rhyming scheme a bit, and the way he uses such vivid imagery throughout. Just love this. A great choice, Pam. Wow. Thank you for this poem.
Absolutely wonderful observations. And Randy, your thoughts on this classic poem?
I agree with everyone. This it's beautifully written, and it flows so well. I mean, it gives you the feeling of being out in the country and taking this all in as it was read. It puts you right there. And I especially like the stage when at lonely intervals some farmer slave or so on with resting runners, sharp bells. He's by me and it's gone. But from the empty waste I hear a sound remote and clear. You know, the vastness of the country and the quiet of it was clearly brought to us in this poem. And the whole thing was really beautiful, and I really enjoyed it.
Truly was. Thank you. A great comment. And Lawrence, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Lampman was, if I can read from the notes, widely regarded as Canada's finest 19th century English language poet. And it seems to me that he may have preceded Robert Frost, yet I find elements of Frost in this. It really reminded me of that. Everybody copies and takes and is inspired by everybody else. I'm not saying that Frost was inspired by Lampman, but it who knows? Lovely poem, by the way. Great choice.
Absolutely, and that's a great observation. You're right with the rhyme and the how he focuses on nature. There definitely is, as you said, kind of elements of Frost within the poem, and so very well said. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think there's a wonderful use of imagery in this poem. And I'm sure he would be delighted to hear me say that. Like, who the hell's cute to quote my poem? You know that. But it really was a wonderful, wonderful use of imagery and alliteration. And, you know, he really did draw you right into the picture he painted. So, you know, it was an excellent choice. So great job, Pam. It does fit the prompt. The image prompts that you chose, it really did have that same kind of feel.
Yes. I have to agree. And imagery in a poem is extremely important because it can easily set the mood of, you know, the poem. So very well said. And all right, up first I have Christmas at the Farm by Deborah Jo. And Jean, would you give that a read for us, please?
Christmas at the Farm. Okay. Let me see if I can make it big enough for my failing eyes. Okay, Christmas at the Farm by Deborah Jo. This time we go to the farm to celebrate the joyous season with grandparents and relatives. Far from the city's hustle and bustle, far from the maddening, far from the noise of a busy city, off we go to the farm to celebrate Christmas this year. Grandma has baked the cakes. Her pies are the best. The wines are all filled from the cellar. We are waiting to spend a good time together. The snowfall is less and the farm is dressed in a pretty white gown of snow. Grandpa has put up the tree, decorated with twinklers and gifts galore. Oh, we are waiting to see. We are waiting to board the train soon to enjoy Christmas at the farm with grandparents and a few more. End of poem.
Wonderful read there, Jean, and such a beautiful write by Deborah Jo. And Laurent, let's start with your thoughts.
Christmas at a farm seems to me the perfect place to celebrate Christmas, because a farm produces food. You have to take from the land what it will give you. So nature is very closely connected to a farm. And it just seems to me the perfect place to observe a holiday, because grandparents make holidays, as far as I'm concerned. When you're going to a cousin's house, for instance, that's fine. But when you go to grandma and grandpa's for Christmas or Easter or New Year's or whatever, that is the perfect place. And, you know, basically it says, we're waiting to see, we're waiting to board the train soon to enjoy Christmas at the farm. The grandparents and a few more. Lovely piece.
Absolutely. Truly was. Great comment. Mm-hmm. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, indeed. This is a beautiful piece, Deborah Jo. It was Deborah Jo, eh? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Grandma has baked the cakes. Her pies are the best. Grandpa has put up the tree, decorated with twinklers and gifts galore, and we can't wait to board the train. This is such a beautiful read, and so filled with like that hope for Christmas, you know, hope to meet family, to be with family, to be together. And this is like really talks to me, because when I was young, we used to leave from Quebec on the train every year to go spend Christmas with my grandma on Prince Edward Island. And that was like a real long train ride, you know, through the Maritimes there till we got to the Amherst, I think, was the last station in Nova Scotia. And then we'd take the bus over, or my father sometimes was already on PEI, so he'd come and pick us up. And so this makes me think of that, you know, all those childhood memories when we left, and I was a young girl, and we would left Quebec, and we went to my grandpa's farm on Prince Edward Island, and it was out in the country by the ocean, by the Cape there, but, you know, on a farm. So, yeah, this is just an amazing write that brings back so many beautiful memories. So thank you very much for that, Deborah Jo. Really enjoyed this write.
Absolutely. And isn't it nice when poetry brings back those good memories like that? Wonderful comment. And Randy, your thoughts on Deborah Jo's poem?
Oh, I agree with everything that's been said. It's a very warm and a wonderful poem. It certainly, even though my grandparents did not live on a farm when I was young, my family and my cousin's families all went to Grandma and Grandpa's house on Christmas. And there was always a lot of food there. It was always great to be able to see our cousins, get together and open presents. And this poem just brought all of that rushing back to me. I love the the stanza, Grandma has baked the cakes, her pies are the best, the wines are all filled in the cellar, we're waiting to spend a good time together. That was Christmas for me and my cousins when we were young, and this poem certainly made me think of all that. It was a very warm and wonderful poem. I really liked it.
Absolutely, and that is wonderful. I really like the imagery in this. I like how it has a very nostalgic feel. I like how it's about, you know, looking back and remembering and celebrating the love of family. I like that she wrote to the prompt Christmas at the farm, but in the last stanza she fit the train in there to, you know, and which worked well with one of the other prompts. So, you know, I really liked that stanza that you mentioned, Randy, but I also liked the one after it, which starts with the snowfall is less and the farm is dressed in a pretty white gown of snow. Thought that had some wonderful imagery. And this is very well done. And Jean, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was beautiful imagery. Well, I shouldn't say imagery. But it was a beautiful setting for the entire poem, going to Grandma's house and the train. I thought she pulled that in so nicely. And I have to assume prompt 5 is one of the train images because I don't really remember. No, it's not. It's the house in the snow.
Very it's
cool.
Christmas at the farm. Yeah.
Right. When she talked about the train, I assumed it was one of the train images. But definitely, you know, it has that. She really met the prompt because the prompt itself does have that farmhouse feel, and you could see all that transpiring here within this image, you know. And I think that it was just a really nicely done piece and lots of fun, you know. Like it brings back memories for a lot of people, you know, going to Grandma and Grandpa's for dinner and, you know, all of that. We always live with my grandparents, so see, I don't get
right.
That, you know. So
yeah,
you know, it's definitely different, but it was very nicely done. So thank you, Deborah Jo, for that. It was a nice read. It was fun to read.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. All right. Up next, we have Deck the Halls with Love and Folly by Linda M.B. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yeah, I'll read for Linda. Deck the Halls with Love and Folly. Oh, I like this one. It was his arm around her waist that I saw first, her yellow raincoat bright, illuminated by the headlights of impatient queuing traffic, people rushing home on Christmas Eve. I was watching from my window. The rain had just begun to fall. I felt glad that I was tucked inside these four protective walls. They glowed with orange heat as my fire crackled, spat, and sprinkled ash upon the hearth. I didn't know which one I should be thinking of. The one who'd shared so many of my days, who called me only just to say nothing much at all, to tell me that he missed me, but take your time. Or the one I wanted wrapped in tinsel and delivered to my door. He who only by one word could send my blood to rush up to my head, could make my belly feel it was a pit of writhing snakes, could make me feel so sick with need. The night had fallen in, and as I stepped back, receding deep into the solace of a looming Christmas all alone, Sinatra crooned, the wine was mulled. I slipped while thinking I had not been good. No need to put the milk and cookies out. End poem.
Great read there, Naomi. Yeah, I liked that humor at the end. I thought that was very clever. I think this was actually, to me, like a really great twist at the prompt. In fact, I think we had like two or three writes that kind of went, or maybe three or four writes that went in more of a melancholy direction. And I think part of that might have been the lighting in the pictures has almost a dark shaded feel to it. But what I like about this is that it reminds us, you know, that, you know, Christmas sometimes, You're lonely. It's a time when you want to share with people, you know, and especially with a special somebody. I like how this has a really kind of inner reflection inside of yourself look at her own thoughts. I like the humor at the end. And I also really like that she gave a nod to Sinatra, to the crooning, the wine that was mulled, and brazenly admitted, hey, I don't have to put out the milk and cookies. I didn't behave all year. So just a wonderful creative write by Linda MB, and very well done. And why did I say my own son's name? I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay, sorry about that. That was a weird thing. Randy. Your thoughts?
Yes, this was a very melancholy poem. It was very well written and a wonderful way to deliver the thought of loneliness at Christmas time, because not everyone, unfortunately, is able to spend Christmas with family and friends or a loved one. Some people are lonely and alone. And I think this poem wonderfully portrays that. I like the one I wanted wrapped in tinsel and delivered to my door. He who only by one word could send my blood to rush up to my head, could make my belly feel it was a pit of writhing snakes, could make me feel so sick with need. You know, that's very, very gritty and emotional feeling there of loneliness and need, and I thought it was very well written, and I really liked it.
Absolutely. Gritty and emotional is a great way to describe this poem and those lines that you picked out in particular. So great comment. And Laurent, your thoughts?
I like the way the poet picked out a specific part of the image, the yellow raincoat bright, illuminated by headlights, his arm around her waist. You know, it takes a busy picture and allows us to focus in on a little bit of it. And then I was watching from my window, the rain had just begun to fall. There's something I think that is enormously pleasant about being cocooned in a warm place while the world outside is perhaps colder and wetter and not as pleasant as where she is. The naughtiness in this is well done. References to two lovers. One who calls to say nothing much, just, you know, touching base, how are you? You know, take your time. It implies a separation. And then the second lover, who seems to bring a little more heat to her words, is the, I think, the naughty part of it. So I like very much what she's done with this, especially the ending. It's a clever twist and invites us to imagine exactly what is going on. Really skillful writing here.
Absolutely. Well said there. And I like that you pointed out that she focused in on one small part of the picture and how, and the line where it says, you know, was watching from my window. And I think that's actually a really important part, because not only is it beautifully written, but it reminds us that she didn't write from the point of view of somebody you could see in the painting. She wrote from the point of view of someone who was looking out from a window. So I think that's a really great observation there. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I loved how she incorporated the prompt into this. In the very beginning, you know, she's telling you about this sight she sees and how she's watching from her window. And I thought the prompt was, it wasn't all about the prompt, but the prompt was that beginning. You know, it was like anyway, she set it all off with the image and then went into the rest of her poem. And I think that was really well done. And I loved how she went through, you know, the two different people in her life. I'll say it that way. And, you know, she's talking about the wine was mulled. And I just loved it. I really thought, you know, it was just skillfully done. I think a couple of people already said that. But, you know, that last line, no need to put the milk and cookies out. In other words, I haven't been a saint this year, you know. Well, I can relate to that. I don't put out milk and cookies either.
Exactly.
But anyway, it was just a really great job. Well done. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well said there, Jean. And great comments, everybody. All right. For our next poem, I have put up The Moments Before the Gift Was Brought by Jordan Zuniga. And Randy, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay, I've got to find it here. Okay. The Moment Before the Gift Was Brought, prompt number one. The blizzard's scorn, the winds then turned upon the day when the Messiah was born. The skies then blurred as I pushed onward ho, pushed to the destination in the raging snow. My nose blood red as it told, my eyes so weary from the restless cold, as I pushed and wrestled still, the slippery ice, not to break my will, within the depths, the shadows of night, I see the breaking of the light. I came and tried to catch some air, with constant pants, with tender care, the pounding of wood, the ringing of the bell, catching my breath as my lungs would swell, the open door as my heart would shift. I brought for you this special gift, a smile, a hug, a heartfelt touch. It was thoughtful of you to take the trouble as such. The greeting from friends, the tender love of kin to say, welcome home and have a Merry Christmas Day. My Lord Jesus Christ, have all the glory. End poem.
Great read there, Randy. Thank you. And Laurent, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought Randy did a great job reading that. Nice job, Randy. I really like the title of this, The Moments Before the Gift Was Brought. So we're anticipating what is happening. And she uses the blizzard, the Messiah, blurred skies, raging snow, lots of great images through this. My eyes, my nose blood red as it were told, my eyes so weary from the restless cold as I pushed and wrestled still, the slippery ice, not to break my will. She concentrates on the human aspect of greeting, of love, of why you are, where you are, not just to celebrate Christmas, but celebrate it with family, with friends. It's a lovely piece, really.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. I have to agree. Well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that the imagery put into this, like the blizzard and the ice and the raging snow and the shadow of the night and all that emphasizes when he talks about, you know, all that darkness and all that cold emphasizes the joyfulness that comes in the end. So I thought that was really brilliant. And I wrote to him just a wonderful piece here about, you know, he talks of Jesus Christ and that he gives him a place in that last line with all the hustle and bustle of a two commercial Christmases. And he wrote back to me, well, this was a piece inspired, you know, like simply by a person struggling to get to the front door of a Christmas party. But I do try to emphasize faith in Christ. So, you know, this is just, you know, somebody trying to get to that door on Christmas night, I guess. But this is a wonderful, wonderful write, Jordan. You know, like I said, the imagery in there is very powerful. And the ending, yeah, is wonderful. Yeah, the joy, the Merry Christmas, and it's just a beautiful write all through.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I do agree there is, besides the end line, there's also, you know, there is a sense of spirituality to this rite. The fact that he mentions the day the Messiah was born, my nose blood red. I mean, even where he puts the pounding of wood, the ringing of the bell, you know, I felt like the pounding of wood, to me, that imagery in particular really spoke of the idea of when Christ was hung on the cross. So I don't. You definitely weren't the only one, Naomi, who saw that within some of these lines, not just the end one, the sense of spirituality and the idea of a Christmas that isn't all about commercialism. But I also think he did a wonderful job of telling a story that, you know, started out where somebody feels alone and in a dark place, and then comes to find the joy of friendship and love. You know, so I thought this was very well done. And Randy, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Well, as I was reading it, the thought came to me, the picture that was created in my mind as I read it, was maybe of someone in the distant past, people that lived out in the country, there were no cars and stuff, and someone making the trudging trip to a neighbor, to a relative's home that was a decent distance away in a blizzard, fighting off all of the different parts of that would cause them discomfort and pain, which was very well written throughout both stanzas. And I really enjoyed it. I found it fascinating and an interesting piece to read. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And I like that thought because it does, you're right, it does have that feel of, you know, before a time when there was cars. And Jean, your thoughts? And did Jean have to step away?
I guess you wanted me off mute. No, I was on mute because I was typing.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I think he did a wonderful job with this in the fact that the image was of the gift under the tree. But this is more about the gift of yourself and putting yourself like in that position of getting to where you're going. Just to be able to say, where is it? The highs and the hellos, that kind of thing. I know it's here somewhere. I brought for you this special gift, a smile, a hug, a heartfelt touch. It was thoughtful of you to take the trouble as such. It's more about those things than it really is about that wrapped present. And I think that was just really nicely done. And great job, Jordan. Really, I liked it very much. I liked the rhyme of it.
Absolutely.
I liked the meter of it. And I definitely like the thoughts in it. So, well done.
I have to agree. Very well said there. And it's always good to see, like, I haven't seen Jordan's name too often. I think it's for the shows. And so for me, it's always great to see new names. And all right. Up next, we have Swinging Farmhouse Door, Then and Now by Sapphire Rose. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So, Gene, whenever you're ready.
Swinging Farmhouse Door, Then and Now by Sapphire Rose. Christmas on my grandparents' farm was filled with family, friends, and merriment. Childhood winters where snow was plentiful, where sleigh rides were a rite of passage. This old farmhouse was everything to me. You see, my grandfather and my uncle built this house with their blood, sweat, and tears. It sheltered 6 baby girls and 5 baby boys, 3 small rooms, no bathroom, but an outhouse, a kitchen warmed by the continuous glow of a wood stove. The house wasn't much, but what made it special was the memories, a perfect blend of laughter and tears. I can still picture my grandmother sitting near the wood stove with a babe in her arms, while older children milled about. The farmhouse door was reminiscent of a saloon door. There was always people coming and going. I recall the smell of cedar trees. Baked goods were always on display, no matter the season or holiday. Homemade jams, fresh apple cider spiced to perfection. Those perfect holidays have long been forgotten. No more merriment around the wood stove. No longer does family gather to celebrate any occasion. No more family outings to hunt for the perfect Christmas tree. This old farmhouse still stands tall on the hill where I and my cousins played. Long gone are the aromas of baked goods and the scent of cedar trees and the magical glow of the wood stove. But in the silence, I can still feel the presence of my grandmother, the laughter and the tears through the years. For I will never forget about the swinging farmhouse door. End poem.
Wonderful reading right there, Sapphire. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, this is such a heartfelt write. It's so beautifully read and so deep and this really touches me, because when my grandmother passed away, everything stopped. We stopped going to PEI. We stopped seeing like my uncles, my cousins, and also like her grandmother's place. We didn't have any, they didn't have any electricity or running water. So they had outhouses too, like even in the winter. Well, in the winter we had, a pot, you know, in the bedrooms, like if we needed to go at night there, and we emptied them in the morning. And we had the hot water bottles at our feet to keep us warm during the night, you know, under the blankets. And so this just bring back so many memories of those Christmases. And I mean, like, she put in so much imagery into this and so much emotion. Oh, my gracious, Sapphire. This is such a beautiful, beautiful write. You can tell by the tone in your voice that this is really personal and so well read and so well written. Just like 1,000 times, bravo on this, right? It's just amazing.
Absolutely. Great comment there, Naomi. And Randy, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was extremely warm and personal, very relatable, even though I never went to the country farm for Christmas, the family angle on it and the personal feelings toward family, grandma and grandpa, those sorts of things were very relatable. You know, it flowed along so well with tender memories of those times in the first half of the poem, and then ended up on a more melancholy note towards the end, because like happens with so many families, and Sarah mentioned that as well, you know, when grandma and grandpa die, quite often those traditions die too, and families no longer get together like they used to, and the memories kind of start to fade, and that was brought to light in the last half of the poem, I thought, very well and very touchingly. And, like I said, it was very relatable and beautifully written and read, and I really liked it.
Absolutely. Absolutely well said there. And, Laurent, your thoughts?
I'm sorry. Hang on a second, please.
Sure.
The blizzard scorn, the winds then torn upon the day when the Messiah was born. He exhibits some fine rhyming and tells a lovely story. Wait a second, is this the poem we're on?
Yeah, I think that was the last poem. Sorry, Laurent. Yeah, we're on Swinging Farmhouse
Door.
Yeah,
Sapphire Rose. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Swinging Farmhouse Door. At Christmas on my grandparents' farm was filled with family, friends in merriment. Childhood winters where snow is plentiful, with sleigh rides or rite of passage. Again, when we visit the grandparents. And you know, when you bring your kids to your grandparents, their grandparents' place, it allows you to become a child as well, because your parents are there. So you're not the oldest ones. You're the in-betweens. And you can enjoy Christmas, I think, in a way, grandparents, in a different wholesome manner that may be more difficult elsewhere where you are the oldest ones and responsible. Here you're allowed to be a child. And I like what she said. The house wasn't much, but what made it special was the memories, a perfect blend of laughter and tears. All the past comes to life, and you begin to remember and revisit the things that made living at that house so special. As usual, Sapphire does a great job with this.
Absolutely. Really well said there. Yeah, I have to agree. I like that she separated this into two parts, the past and the present. And I like that it is a very tender, very emotive, personal rite that brings us back to that time of love and joy, and then brings us back to, you know, to that point where there no longer is those traditions going on. There is no longer as much connection with family, you know, and it's very melancholy, but it really touches the heart. Beautifully written and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts? And let's see, Jean, your thoughts off mute.
Well, again, yeah, that's my, but I thought it was a beautifully written piece. I think she painted such a warm and wonderful image, one that tugs at the reader's heartstrings. I think she did a fabulous job. And just, you know, we have a caller.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. Hello, 27. Who's calling, please?
It'll be Wayne.
Hey, Wayne.
Hi, Wayne.
Hey, how you doing?
Glad you joined us.
Yeah, I was running a little late. I had to wrap some presents up, so I'm running late. But glad to be here. I heard your last poem. Mm. It was a beautiful poem, very well written. She had a great sound cloud. It made you feel warm all over, even though it was a bit sad at the end. And you can't replace traditions like that. Memories like that, it's hard to replace. And I can feel all her emotions in the way she read it. Great, great, great poem.
Absolutely. Great comment there, Wayne. Ah, right. And Lawrence, I put your poem up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
All right. This is called Bridge Over Christmas Waters. Winter's day holds its breath in magic silence. Christmas Eve in Central Park, dormant browns outlined in white. Footpaths dressed in snowfall wend their way, bridge to archway. Young eyes with flushed faces gaze downwards at dark water. Reflections shimmer red and blue and pink below cast iron and concrete. Snatches of voices raised in song drift between skeletal trees. The city, omnipresent, fades away into the mists of gathering flurries. White Christmas in Central Park, born in conflict, lives today in peace. Such peace as we find in the season, annular reflections of joy and love, alive in the dash and frolic of children on the eve of the day. Homeward bound in the approaching dark of a silent night, a holy night, broken by a distant beat, the rat-a-tat-tat of a little drummer boy celebrating a birth. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Lawrence. I really like that you wrote this in these beautiful couplets that don't rhyme, but they have a really nice meter to them. I like that you took elements from the picture and you focused in on the presents and the giving and the material things of Christmas, but rather the spiritual things of Christmas, the idea of it being a holy night, time for reflections of joy and love. And I particularly like where you say, alive in the dash and frolic of children on the eve of the day. I like that you bring into those lines the enthusiasm that children have this time of year. So beautifully written and very well done. And Randy, your thoughts?
Yes, I really found it interesting because at the beginning of it played into the kind of starkness of winter with the bare trees, the browns outlined in white, footpath dressed in snowfall on their way, bridge to archway, young eyes with flushed faces gaze downward at dark water. And then as it goes on, like you said, it talks about the children.
Absolutely.
Dash and frolic at children on the eve of the day. So it ends on a very high note and a bright note, where it started out as a rather dark note, but it was well written and I loved the read.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. And Wayne, your thoughts?
Yes, this is a very touching poem. Even in the middle of New York City, the Christmas spirit is alive. It seems like he's talking about the deep woods, deep forest somewhere. But he was right in the middle of New York City with the buildings fading in the background with the snow coming. And it was very, very, very well written, a very good poem, a very good job reading it. I enjoyed the poem. It was great, very soothing. I loved it.
Absolutely. Well said. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, this is just amazing, this right, Laurent. The way you took the picture, you repainted it. You breathed all the emotion into it, all the feeling there throughout with your words. I love the last... The broken by a distant beat, the rat-a-tat-tat of a little drummer boy celebrating a birth. That's so, so neat the way you ended that poem there. Just a beautiful write throughout this, Laurent, there. I remember Central Park going there as a kid and with my parents and how dirty it was, and then going back as an adult, and it was bought up by some of the city people there that took it over, and now it's so cleaned up and so beautiful there compared to when I was young. So yeah, this beautiful ride.
Thank you, Naomi, and I might encourage anyone who hasn't been to Central Park to take that walk, because there are some 50 odd bridges and archways in Central Park. Built, ironically enough, during the Civil War. Well done.
Oh, wow. That's really cool to know, Lauren. Thank you. Yeah. And Jean, your thoughts?
She's fallen prey to mute again.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I don't mute myself, then I have people that message me and tell me that they can hear my typing and it's annoying. So I mute myself and I try and go about business as always, and then I forget. And I do it all the time.
It happens.
I know what I do. You know. But anyway, I thought this was a beautifully penned piece, a wonderful reflection of the prompt. And I thought the imagery was great throughout, and the audio references as well. Awesome job, like, you know, the drummer boy and Silent Night and all that. It just brings so many things to mind, and I think it was beautifully done. So excellent work, Laurent. Excellent work.
Thank you, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. All right, and Randy, I have your poem up, so go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay, it's I took it from prompt number 6, Harry's Ride, Central Park, and the title is The Ride. I've been saving for a special Christmas gift to give my wife, something unique that she'll treasure for the rest of her life. It required planning, making sure all my ducks were in a row, reservations made, airline tickets in my hand, all systems go, adventures in the Big Apple, and at Christmas time no less. I cannot contain my excitement. I know she couldn't guess. As we exchange gifts, I hand her a card, ornate and pretty. Her face lit up as she read, "I love you. We're going to New York City." After all the kisses and hugs were done, we settled down and got serious about packing and preparing to leave town. Heading to a dream come true, she gave me one more kiss. Soon we'll be scratching off many things on our bucket list. Predictably, doing all the touristy stuff to fill our days, see Times Square, Macy's Christmas window displays, the Statue of Liberty, and Twin Towers Memorial Site, eating Joe and Pat's New York-style pizza, loving every bite. On our last night, the grand finale, and hoping it will be tops, checking my list, blankets, hot cocoa, and some schnapps, I escort her to the hotel entrance, to the curb with pride, ushering through the carriage in a Central Park carriage ride, and poem.
Beautiful read there, Randy. I'm glad you were inspired. And Wayne, let's start with your thoughts.
Okay. I think it looks like Randy took Lauren's advice and come to see the Central Park. So I bet it will be a special trip. You're going to trip. The poem was wonderfully written, well-balanced, and very nice. But the wife, when we get there, the wife will probably want to go shopping some fancy shopping places too. So I'd be watching my billboard if I was you, because it's New York City's got some expensive stuff in there. But I hope you enjoy your trip, and then it's a great point. Love it.
Thanks, Wayne.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Laurent, your thoughts?
I very much like the fact that instead of unwrapping some little bauble to put on a finger around your neck, she's given a place to go, an adventure, a place to see that you may not be familiar with all the trappings. And I like the way Randy goes through what he calls the touristy stuff, Times Square, Macy's windows displays, which are justifiably famous, and the Statue of Liberty, the Twin Towers, New York-style pizza, but the finale, the grand finale, you know, the blankets, the cocoa, the schnapps, escorting her to the hotel entrance to the curb with pride, ushering her to a carriage and a Central Park carriage ride, something that's been going on for the better part of two centuries. And now you're part of that. And I like the line length because it's, for me, it's not that easy to rhyme long lines, but he does it quite expertly and naturally. And I like that a great deal. I thought it was a great job.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Absolutely. And I have to agree, wonderful rhyming of those long lines. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a brilliant, unique take on the prompt there to have this surprise. Like, I'd take this surprise, this Christmas present any day. Wow, a trip, you know, to New York. I just love New York. And I like, Laurent said, you put so much little details into this poem, so many places that are famous in New York City. I just love that stanza. And, of course, like Laurent said, that last stanza is so perfect, you know, for the ending. All the little details in there, too, that you put there, the blanket, the cocoa, the schnapps, and, you know, and your rhyming and throughout the poem is just amazing, the rhythm and rhyme here. So just an excellent write, Randy, here. Just amazing. I just, it's just a delight to hear you read this. And it brings joy, this poem. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I really, great comments, everybody. I really enjoyed this, too. I like everybody said, the rhyme with the long lines was very well done. I like that you put in here the little details, like mentioning that eating Joe and Pat's New York-style pizza, loving every bite. I like that there's the gift, rather than, as Lawrence said, just a little bauble, it's all about the gift of time spent together, the gift of experience. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Thanks, Pam.
All right, and we'll go ahead and go on to the next poem, which will be your poem, Naomi. So go ahead and give it a read for us.
Okay. So this is a cold Christmas. The old truck rattled and rumbled as it plowed through the heavy snow. Oh, come on, come on, Paula growled impatiently. She would get that darn tree to her house even if she had to pull and yank it all the way there herself. No way that Mrs. Patterson across the street would have her tree up before hers. Already that old bag had put up those huge atrocities in her front yard that were supposed to look like some sort of Christmas balls. So cheap and out of fashion, Paula snorted. She would never put up an eyesore like that. She was going with the latest Christmas trends as usual. This year it would be all baby blue and satiny silver. Oh, she couldn't wait to show them all. She dragged the tree from the back of the still groaning pickup, then stopped to watch the bustling around of family and friends through a neighbor's window. Paula shrugged. Well, guess they are already partying. Well, that will sure mess up their house fine, and just before Christmas at that. She dragged the tree onto the porch and entered the house, then shook off her coat and boots and ran to get the mop to wipe away any trace of melted snow. had to keep the place all spick and span just in case. Yeah, just in case the kids did decide to change their plans and come down this year. When everything was tidied up, she popped down onto the couch and switched on the TV. Oh, for heaven's sake, not another Christmas movie, she sighed as she lit up a long, slim cigarette. The smoke hugged her before snaking its way up to the ceiling, her only companion on this snowy December night. A train whistled from across the fields, probably filled to the brim with screeching kids, screaming babies, and parents going half crazy, Paula grunted. The house suddenly seemed cold as she shuddered and pulled the wool blanket tighter around her shoulders, crushed out her cigarette, and leaned over to pull another from the pack. And end of story.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. I'm really glad you were inspired. And Laurent, let's start with your thoughts.
I really think that Naomi touched on something here that I think is important. If we take a clue from the title, A Cold Christmas, it's not cold in the sense that the temperature is low, although it obviously is. It's cold due to the loneliness and the attempt to make Christmas some sort of competition. There is scorn in the voice that talks about the huge atrocities in the neighbor's front yard, you know, so cheap and out of fashion. Paula snorted, pulling in an eyesore. She was going with the latest Christmas trends, baby blue and satiny silver, which doesn't sound natural at all. And yet, you know, the old truck was bringing home a tree in the grandest sense of the holiday. You go out and you cut your tree down and bring it home. And yet, for all of that, it didn't work for her at all. She observes what's going on with the neighbors and finds a way to drip more scorn on it. And she hopes that her place is going to be spick and span just in case the kids did decide to change their plans and come down this year. She spends Christmas by herself watching television, smoking her cigarette, and that is cold. And the last lines, the house suddenly seemed cold as she shuddered and pulled the wool blanket tighter around her shoulders, crushed out her cigarette, and leaned over to pull another from the pack. Yes, loneliness is cold, and it's really skillfully presented in just that way, while not ignoring what Christmas should be, but describing Christmas the way it is. She brings that character to life, I thought, very well. Nice job, Naomi.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And I like that you brought up that it's the coldness of being alone rather than the cold that's in the air. And Randy, your thoughts?
Well, I really liked this. It was warm and colorful, blended in with sadness and the loneliness angle on it too as well. But it had some very colorful lines in it. I love the aspect of the groaning old truck. I don't know, I've been around long enough that I have seen and heard a lot of old trucks, and they do groan. So that was a very colorful and realistic part of it. You know, and the neighborhood competition for decorations is age old. It goes on everywhere. Everywhere Christmas is celebrated and decorations are put up, people always want to outdo their neighbor, and it touches on that. So that's a realistic angle that most people can relate to. And then, you know, it comes down to the end, and another thing that far too many people can relate to is spending Christmas alone with the hope that perhaps the family may show up. Probably knowing deep inside they're not going to, but be prepared for it just the same. It was wonderfully written, very warm and touching. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed your read anyway as well.
Thank you, Randy.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Wayne, your thoughts?
Yes. This is a great storyline in this poem here. It's got this warm touch to it. It's kind of got a family feel to it. And I like the stanza where she wrote, she would never put up an eyesore like that. She was going with the latest Christmas trends as usual. This year will be all baby blue and satiny silver. That's why I decorated my tree this year. It's baby blue lights with silver ornaments and silver oaks. So I feel like I'm in the latest trends now. It's a cool story about a lady fighting to keep the traditions going, and a great ending with it, with the cigarette part, and the end of it was a great way to end it. I think you did a wonderful job this, Naomi. I love it.
Thank you, Wayne.
Great comment there, Wayne. Yeah, I really like this, right, Naomi? I like that you gave us a story with dialogue and thought, and you brought us into the loneliness of someone who prepares for a family they know most likely won't show up. There was really strong lines in here, a real strong sense of emotion. It did have, as was mentioned, a raw, gritty reality that was oftentimes relatable, like with the noise of the truck and the feeling of loneliness and the following the Christmas trends and trying to, as was mentioned, compete with neighbors. So I like that you threw in here, like, where it says "humph," Paula shrugged. I guess they are already partying. You know, like the adding in that "humph" adds the extra emotional impact to it. So just really a great write all the way through, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Absolutely. And all right, Randy, have a good night and a Merry Christmas. Thank you for calling in.
Good night, Randy.
All right. Up next we have... Oh, what was that?
I said Merry Christmas, Randy.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes. Up next we have Blessed by Christmas Snow by Martha Gettle, and we have a SoundCloud for that. So, Gene, whenever you're ready.
Blessed by Christmas Snow by Martha Gettle. I love it when snowflakes fall pure and white. On Christmas, a most welcome sight. Covering everything without a sound. Hidden by snowflakes falling down. Snowflakes are falling through the air. What a joy to see them lying there. Christmas is a time for love and joy and happy smiles on every girl and boy. Snow always falls like a dream, lying on the ground in a Christmas scene. And I just can't help but smile when I see Christmas snowflakes fill the sky. Snow falls softly through the night, turning everything a dazzling white. We can go out caroling in the snow, crunching through the snowdrifts as we go. Snow always falls like a dream, laying on the ground in a Christmas scene. And I just can't help but smile when I see Christmas snowflakes fill the sky. A Christmas snowfall is so sweet, it makes Christmas day complete. You'll always see so many happy faces when snow our Christmas holiday graces.
Thank you for the SoundCloud, Martha. It is very much appreciated. Just a reminder, everyone, if you can't call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yes. It's a song of Christmas, not unlike some of the other things that she does, but because it's about Christmas, it holds a special place in my heart. Snow falls softly through the night, turning everything a dazzling white. We can go out caroling in the snow, crunching through the snow drifts as we go. Her rhyming is pretty much flawless. The sentiments are of the season, and she paints a beautiful picture. A Christmas snowfall is so sweet, it makes Christmas Day complete. And you know, there's no child that doesn't want a white Christmas, and most adults as well. And as far as I'm concerned, that's what she's given us here. Nice job.
Absolutely. I agree. Well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a beautiful write by Martha. Indeed. And Laurent quoted the stanza that I preferred to, like, I really love that crunching through the snowdrifts as we go, that crunching sound, you know, that we make when we go through the snow. I think she really captured that. And, you know, this just makes me think of those winter days when the snow is falling and the snowflakes are so big and fluffy, you know, they're just glistening there against the sunlight there. And this is really a beautiful, like, each stanza is, it flows just so beautiful in the rhyme. And just a brilliant write. And the chorus is amazing, Martha. Just another amazing song here. Really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Wayne, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a wonderful little poem song that by Singing Grandma. She's got great words in the point in the song here. And she liked the way she sang it. And it reminds me of the Christmas carolers that go around singing. And I'd like to have my Christmas party Thursday night for the kids. I bet she's a lot of fun being around. And I enjoyed this. Maybe we'll start singing. Great poem there. Song. Great job.
Absolute. Well said. Yeah, I really enjoyed this song. I felt it fit well with the picture she chose and with tonight's topic. I felt there was a real kind of gentleness to the imagery. There was a quiet beauty to the scene that she created with the snowfall. And I like how she mentioned, you'll always see so many happy faces with snow, our Christmas holiday graces. So just beautiful imagery there, beautiful lines. It has the spirit to me of a good old Christmas song, something like you could picture, what's his name? Oh, I'm blanking out. Bing Crosby, yeah, that, like him singing, or somebody else who did that, like Frank Sinatra. I really liked the imagery in this. I thought it was beautiful and captivating and very well done. And so thank you for that, Martha. And let's see what we have next. All right. Up next we have Gapstow by Kay Heartless. And Wayne, will you give that a read for us, please?
Yeah, try to. Should I get to read one time for a read out loud, but I'll look at it and see what we do. It's called Gapstow by H. Heartless. It goes like this. Little vines clinging this time of year disappear when she traces her hand down on the tops of Gapstow. It's been so long since they've been touched, and now the memory scrapes, tickling her like falling snow lost in the crevice. White skies, robes of uneven gold, partially frozen surfaces for glory reflections. Yes, the Lord might be smiling on the sheet, but they still wind up as chops. Not thinking or jumping, were you? Her bobs asked. She hoped to find her prince, but the pond's too frozen for frogs. She never touches the episode now, bring the stones are contaminated with fillings. In.
Great read there, Wayne. I liked the imagery in this one. And this was another one that had a very sad and melancholy feel to it. I like the imagery. I like that she opens up with brittle vines clingy this time of year disappear when she traces her hands. And white skies, loaves of unleavened dough. I thought describing the cloud-filled sky as loaves of unleavened dough was really creative. And what I particularly like about this poem is that it does touch upon the idea that sometimes when it comes to holidays, and especially if you live in an area where, you know, there's a lot of cold and there's a lot of, like, not a lot of sunshine, you oftentimes deal with an overwhelming sense of sadness and depression. So just an excellent write and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a very well written, like brilliant write. And what a clever and unique take on that prompt. And it's so sad and deeply like powerful, this write. It just brings out the emotion, you know. And yeah, masterful storytelling here in this poem, and it connects with the reader. I think they're well connected with me, and it connects with everybody. The sadness, like you said, Pam, that that sometimes comes out in this time of holidays here. So just a beautiful write all through here. Just well written and just amazing.
Absolutely. Well said there, Naomi. Great comment. And Laurent, your thoughts?
There's something rather special about this piece in the way that she begins the poem with the word brittle, easily broken. And it kind of connects to her throughout the poem. It seems as if she's someone who is brittle and easily broken. The way she traces her hands on the tops of capstow and reflects on the fact that it's been so long since there'd been touch, human touch, interaction. But she remembers this. Now her memory scrapes, tickling her like falling snow lost in the crevices. And again, we have a key word, crevice, where you can get lost. And the blurry reflection, the allusion to sheep who still wind up as chops despite the fact that the good Lord is smiling on them. And then there's a reference to suicide as well. And the hope of finding a prince. So we are talking about someone who's kind of lost at Christmas time, very melancholy, very, very sad and poignant, because there was touch in the past. And she finishes with, she never touches Gapstow now, fearing the stones are contaminated with feelings. That's a very clever and moving way to end it, with a bridge personification, the memories of the past. It expertly done. Really well written.
Absolutely. Great observations there. And Wayne, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
This is a pretty deep poem here. It's very well written, and these are quite a sad ending at the end of it, but I like the way the prince and the frog was worked into the poem. The touch of humor with the smiling lord and on the sheep, and he turned it to the lamb tops. It was a good play on words. It's a great poem all the way through. It was very well thought out. And the family with fittings is a great way to end it. I thought it was just a good poem, well written all the way through. Good job.
Absolutely. Great comments there, everybody. All right. Up next, we have A New Auld Lang Syne by Eric Sensen. And we do have a SoundCloud for that. So, Gene, whenever you're ready.
Mm-hmm. a new Auld Lang Syne. Shy sun struggles, stuck in tepid watercolors, which is unusual for this time of the year. Normally, by December, it paints itself in brush, brilliant acrylics, not even to mention the rich oil pigments of the masters, where blitzkrieg light glows a million watts, pushes back darkness to reveal court costumes, inflection of sparkling jewels, diamond-encrusted crowns, splendiferous pomp and ceremony, celebrating life in abundance. Weak sun battles, water-down colors paint a sepia picture. Normally, by now, sunblock war paint would cover faces. No glint of sunglasses to be seen. Southern air still infused with icy particles. Rioters, acrylic paint retinue held prisoner somewhere. Probably incarcerated with the magnificent paint pigments of the masters. Off-kilter, edgy discomfort paints the bleak landscape. Surely the sun reigns supremely, sails high and mighty above a stricken pandemic world. Disillusioned sun struggles, shy morning inflict stutter along the rim of the gutter. Normally, by now in December, it would sound Aida's triumphal march. Off-kilter, edgy reminiscence streaks charcoal sketches. For now, sad sun suggests dry watercolors at best. Bright, brilliant acrylics remain between mothballs, not to mention the precocious paint pigments of the masters. At best, an opaque, vague Turner landscape may suffice. Mind may deduct. Redirect common sense to accept a weak watercolor sun. Heart adamantly refuses, wills the old writer's December showstopper sun back. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. And Laurent, your thoughts?
The poem is made up of three stanzas. Each one describes a type of sun. Shy sun struggles, weak sun battles, disillusioned sun struggles, and yet at the end of each stanza, he offers a counterpoint. Weak shy sun celebrates life in abundance. Weak sun sails high and mighty above a stricken pandemic world. Disillusioned sun struggles, but heart adamantly refuses, wills the old riotous December showstopper sun back. And in between, he offers us a wonderful litany of descriptions pertaining to the particular phase of the sun that he's discussing. So not only is it richly written, but it's expertly written as well.
Absolutely. I have to agree there. You know, I like that you brought up that he writes the different about the different parts, kinds of suns in each stanza. So great observations. And Wayne, your thoughts?
Yes, it's a very well-written poem. Got a lot of great descriptions in it. and his observations are kind of amazing too. He talks about the brilliant acrylics that is nice, but the painter decided to play with a much grab more painting colors, and I was painting this morning my acrylic colors, and it doesn't look near as good as it is painting does here. He didn't seem very impressed with the picture prompt, but he does put it into different views that explains things a lot better. And they kept coming, bringing back to the bright acrylics, the brilliant acrylics that they didn't have. But it's a wonderful poem, very neat approach to the picture prompt, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Absolutely. Well said. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I just thought this was a brilliant write, another one by Eric. The way he took that painting and he made all this write, you know, from out of the inspiration he got in that painting, the way he used colors and all those metaphors throughout, and he highlighted this painting so well with his words here. This is just brilliant from start to finish. And like, I love Laurent's comment about this poem, you know, how he used the sun. And it's true that, you know, you see the sun, but also you see the lights in the house there. And the lights are so much brighter than the sun that's struggling through the sky there. And the way he brought that out in the writing, the struggle, it's like the struggle of the sun all the way through, you know. And yeah, this is a very, very, very another brilliant write by Eric. So bravo, Eric.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there, Naomi. Yeah, I really like you guys have mentioned, how he talks, writes about the sun. Also, he just always has some wonderful word choices. Like, I like the use of the word splendiferous. And, I like the line, disillusioned sun struggles, shine warning inflictions stutter along the rim of the gutter. There's some really nice inner and end rhyme within those lines. And also throughout the whole write, there's just wonderful imagery and alliteration. And what I like about this is that his words pay a kind of a tribute to the artwork itself, but it also pays a tribute to the fading light and the art of winter, and how the sun struggles throughout. Another great line is off-kilter, edgy reminiscence streaks, charcoal sketches. For now, sad sun suggests, try watercolors at best. It's almost like there's this personification of the sun that's just wanting and begging for more color. So just a beautifully written and very well done. And all right, go ahead and get the next poem. And up next, we have Kissing in Central Park by Betty Page. And I'll go ahead and give that a read. And it goes like this. Strolling Central Park, your sweet lips pressed against mine, kissing intensely. Roller coaster high, I feel love deep in my soul. Recollections blaze, warmth cozy within. We're staring passionately in each other's eyes. Butterfly feelings surrounding sweetly her wings. Fine angelic ride. Snowflakes cascading. Feather light hearts. Covers trees. Neon light up skies. End poem. And that was a wonderful use of imagery by Betty. And Naomi, your thoughts on this poem?
I am. This is just an enchanting piece. There's a lot of emotion through it too. I just love the stanza, butterfly feeling surrounding sweetly her wings, fine angelic ride. Wow. You know, that's a beautiful use of words there to make up that stanza. I just thought it felt so so real, you know, so authentic, warmth, cozy, just staring into each other's eyes, just kissing, just having a stroll, having a walk, and you know, with a lover there, and yeah, just with the snowflakes, you know, falling around. She really captured that picture beautifully in this, right? And I just enjoyed this. This was just delightful to read this. So bravo, Betty.
Absolutely. I think warm and cozy were perfect words to describe that poem. So well said there. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Sometimes a place is special enough that an activity that might be just, you know, normal every day within a life now becomes extra special. And it seems to me that this might be one of those times. You know, you stroll through Central Park all the time if you live in that area of New York City or anywhere near it. It's just a place to go. But now we have a roller coaster high. You know, that feeling of swift ascent and swifter descent. And you get that feeling when you're deeply in love and kissing someone that's very special to you. Perhaps the relationship is new, perhaps it's old, but if it's not growing, it has grown and exists, and the moment is ripe for it to repeat. It's a beautiful little brevity.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. Yeah, there's a wonderful sense of emotion in this poem, and I like that she that stands with roller coaster high and also the snowflakes cascading feathered like hearts covered trees. You know, I like the imagery in that, and really it's such a very romantic brevity and very well done. And Wayne, your thoughts?
Yes, this is a very, very good poem, very warm. I like the picture a lot, too, because the picture shows the skyscraper mountains in the background, which I'm not used to seeing something like that. That's a very good picture. It's a very warm poem, and I like the stanza where she said, warm and cozy within, we're standing passionately in each other's eyes. That's just so romantic there. It's a great poem. Very touching. I liked it a lot. Good job.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. All right. And up next, we have The Christmas Tree by Diane Dee. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So whenever you're ready, Jean.
Hello?
We have a SoundCloud for Diane Dee. No, I'll just go ahead and push it up. There we go. Okay.
The Christmas Tree by Diane Dee. Trails are veiled in a layer of candy floss white snow. We lace on our homemade rawhide snowshoes, the smell of balsam firs embraced the wintry winds, floating atop 6-foot snowbanks like a snow hare, a fresh layer of powder crunched beneath our feet. As trees, iced as thickly as Christmas cake frosting, cast satin shadows on the white glistening snows, the sound of snapping branches fills the forest sky. The rows of snow-covered firs look like smart, magnificently dressed ladies gathering for a ball. Standing amid the time-chiseled, careworn trees stood this stunning, regal skyscraper of the forest. Antler-shaped tree branches like reaching arms scratch and crackle underneath its snowy sleeves. Its whorled bark glistens with early morning frost. As the axe bites into wood like quick beige sticks, I drift away to see flames dancing in the fireplace. Crisp, snip-snap whoosh of the roaring blaze as dying branches and twigs gasp for a last breath before tumbling lifelessly into silvery hot embers. Houses on the street twinkle with multicolored and flashing lights that bounce brilliantly off the snow. Delicious scent of roasted chestnuts, mulled wine. The tree glimmers with more lights and ornaments of the majestic twilight setting. Silver tinsel glinted. Classic poinsettias tie in tradition, and candy canes add such whimsical touches hanging from the tree. A Christmas red tree skirt with a snowflake pattern and an old-fashioned train crossing cozies the tree. To top it off, a golden star extends up to the ceiling. Shiny bows and foiled paper glisten under the trees, inviting kids to sneak one open before the actual day. The pine sweet smell of the tree goes through the room, mixing with the oaken oven scent floating. I drifted dreamily into the cushy corduroy couch. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Diane. Thank you for the SoundCloud and a beautiful choice of background music. And Naomi, your thoughts?
I drifted dreamily into my couch listening to that. Oh, wow. What a superb, superb, like, read and write from finish, from top to finish. Oh, my gracious. Like, she packed in everything. Her imagery is just, like, to die for in this piece. And, you know, it's just so... Oh, just so everything. I mean, I can't even pick out one part. I just love everything. I like the stanza, as the axe bites into wood, like quick beige sticks. I drift away to see the flames dancing in the fireplace. Crisp snip snap wash of the roaring blaze and the dying branches and twigs gasp for their last breath before tumbling lifelessly into silvery hot embers. But, I mean, you know, all through, I could reread this like 10, 15 times and still be so utterly amazed by it. It's just so wonderfully written. It's truly a delight. And to hear her read it is more amazing. So thank you so much, Diane, for this write and the SoundCloud. Oh, my gracious, it's just beautiful to hear you read this.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Lauren, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll second the praise to the writing that Naomi just gave, because it truly is excellently done. What I like, and yeah, there's no one particular part that I care to pull out and praise, because the whole thing is tied together so beautifully due to the way she set the piece. You're in the middle of a time-honored tradition, cutting down the Christmas tree, and as she hears the axe bite the wood, she kind of drifts off into a waking daydream and gives us this beautifully written perspective on Christmas. Again, as Naomi said, including such an array of wonderful symbols and references that are genuinely relatable, but even offered in a language that is really quite spectacular. So instead of just telling us a story, you know, this happened and this happened and that happened and this happened, she removes the character from the moment and casts it adrift to give us this other wonderful view of Christmas, all while the tree is being cut down, and finishes it as if the reality is the couch at that moment, That takes skillful writing to pull off, and I really enjoyed this.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Well said there. And Wayne, your thoughts?
This is a very well-balanced poem. It's got a lot of great descriptions in it. I just, I love the way she went, showed what the tree looked like in the snow with the fresh snow on it, all the way from bringing it through the town up to the house where she was decorated. It just all the way through, she just led it a perfect transition through it. She brought at the end of it, she had the streets and the kids, and just the way she had the snowflakes covering under the bottom of the tree. It just all just little details like this, it made it so warm and like a cozy poem. It's just a great little poem here. I loved it.
It truly is. Great comments, everybody. Yeah, I thought, oh my goodness, this is beautiful use of imagery. The lines flowed nicely. As Lauren said, I liked how she went from one reality to the next in like this kind of seamless flow. I particularly like how she says, trees iced as thickly as Christmas cake frost and cast satin shadows on the white glistening snow. And, shiny bows and foil paper glistened under the trees, inviting kids to sneak. I opened before the actual day. There's such a sense of joy and mischievousness and innocence all at the same time within those lines, and just really wonderful imagery and very well done. All right, and on to the next poem. All right, and Wayne, I've got your poem up, so go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay, I picked out the picture of the train going down the tracks, and I called it the train trip to Christmas Resort. It goes like this. Traveling turquoise, torch train, tickles track. Ambassador announces, alloy, aluminum, rigid rack. Foot, fireman feeds, forging fire with fuel. Skipper shouts, crew commands from stool. Whipping winds whisper warm weathered word. Porcelain puppeteer passenger people politely heard. Raging rectangular dwelling rides raised round rail. Honeydew haze hangs on hollow homes the hillside trail. Two ticketed teachers train tomorrow's today. Gaze guest guards giant joy getaway. Metallic muscle machinery arrives resort pool rooms. Brings bar buffet, brandy bottle, and burgundy bouquet blossoms. Again.
Great read and write there, Wayne. I'm glad you were inspired and very well done there. Laurent, your thoughts?
Well, Wayne has really gotten quite good at alliteration and the ability to tell a story while maintaining that kind of alliteration. It's a genuine skill. I thought he did a great job with this. Anywhere you want to look at it, it works. Nice job, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, the alliteration throughout this, Wayne, is awesome. I really like the lines, raging, rectangular, dwelling, rides, raised around rail, and then honeydew haze hangs on hollow homes and hillside trail. And your rhyming is just beautiful, like the flow, the rhyming throughout this, and the alliteration makes for just a wonderful, wonderful write. And you know, and that buffet and the brandy and the burgundy and the bouquets there, that really got me there. I want some of that. And yeah, just an amazing, amazing write here, Wayne. I actually smiled when I read this. It was really delightful to read, and to hear you read it even better. So thanks you so much for phoning in and reading this. It's just a joyful, joyful delight. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Naomi. It was a great comment.
Absolutely.
Can I say something real quick here? Last week was one of the most trying weeks I've ever had. We had those tornadoes touched down about 3 blocks from my house. It was a pretty trying week last week, but everything was going to come back to normal a little slowly. It was a pretty rough week last week.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I can imagine. Yeah. Well, I'm glad, you know, I'm glad that you got through all those tornadoes and that really bad weather, and that you're safe and sound. So, good to hear you.
Yeah, so happy you're back, Wayne.
Thank you.
Absolutely. But, yeah, this is wonderful. It's got great rhyme and flow, wonderful use of alliteration. I like that you described taking a trip on a train and with such visual language, like whipping wind, whispers, worn, weathered word, porcelain puppeteer, passengers, people politely heard. You know, it's not only, you're not only describing the sounds and the imagery that you would hear, like if you were standing outside of the train, but if you were on the train itself taking that journey. So I thought you did a really great job with that, and very well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And, all right, up next we have On Different Tracks by Julie Buck. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Of course. On Different Tracks. I didn't mean to use my well-dressed and witty words as a humorous way to prepare for the inevitable signing on the dotted line. I'm willing to ride the slushy rails throughout the wintry Wisconsin woods, the train pushing snow and sleet off the tracks, cold night. A bright red bow on its warm locomotive nose, harsh foreclosing on the fragility of my female ambivalence. Cruel, scrutinizing too deeply the well of womanly wiles. Must I play 12 chords of I'll Be Home for Christmas on xylophone, or perhaps a disharmonious harmonica before I invest any more of my desperation towards an obvious misformatted fraud? Usually I'm the rebel, but baby, this mutiny's on you.
Great read there, Naomi. And a wonderful poem that took a bit of a twist on the prompt. And again, focused on how oftentimes, you know, life can be sad and dark during the holidays. And especially if you're going through something difficult, like, you know, a lost love or a divorce or a separation. So I really like the first person narrative of this. Thought it had a great emotional impact and was a bit of dark, twisted humor that really kind of drove the point home. So very well done here. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, there's an excellent use of sarcasm and irony in this poem, well illustrated by the title, On Different Tracks. You know, when there are so many ways that a relationship can drift, can get off the tracks. And sometimes the train stays on the tracks for no apparent reason. It just keeps going and going and going and gets nowhere special. At least that's one method of keeping it together. But what we see here is a marital breakup, beautifully couched in metaphors of Christmas and of the season. And that is damned sophisticated as far as I'm concerned, the way that she pulled it all together. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Great comment there. And Wayne, your thoughts?
I thought this was a lovely poem. It kind of focuses on a lady going on a train, just going to sign some papers with a partner or whatever. She's bringing up the issues in from a feminist point of view. I think it's just a lovely outlook on this poem. She did a great job with it and having personal questions she asked in the poem. Just a very, very well-written poem. Good job.
Absolutely. And Naomi, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think her amazing write brings out like that picture. I don't see that picture the same way after reading her write. Like I see the blackness of the train, the smoke, the its light trying to filter throughout, you know, the darkness in that picture there. It's like foggy and, you know, just snowy, and that train is like rushing, and I feel the desperation in her right, because it's so vividly written, and the desperation of that train just rushing down those tracks, you know, and echoes the desperation of the woman there that's aboard the train. And so this is just a brilliant, unique take on that prompt, and I just thought it was just such a clever write and so well done. So bravo, Julie Buck. I mean, I just enjoyed this so much. Just bravo.
Absolutely. Great observations there, Naomi. All right, our last poem for the night, and the ones we have left will be carried over to another show, and when I know which one, I'll let people know. But is Snow Falls by Grant G. And Laurent, will you give that a read for us, please?
I'll be happy to. Snow Falls. Snow falls on city. Icy breeze cuts through. 2 a.m. Christmas morning, homeless folk feeling blue, blankets wrapped around their shoulders, waiting on a soup run in a mismanaged queue. The tough take precedence over those vulnerable or true. Drug dealers are always near. Christmas brings them cheer. Rolls of 20s, there's bundles in a bag. Money begged by beggars. The rest, I guess, been glad. Church bells begin ringing, and hours flown by. A sex worker's crying. She needs badly to get high. A car door slams. She's using what she knows. A John's face grimaces. This girl knows how to blow. Click-clack noise. Movement on the street. She spends her $50. There ain't no food to eat. Soup runs finished. The homeless break away. Car parks and under bridges. They'll spend Christmas Day. End poem.
Great read there, Laurent. And I have to say, this is strong imagery, and I thought it was really an excellent write. It has that gritty reality of a city's downtrodden, and how people, life goes on as it's always been for many people during the holiday season. So very well done there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. I was just submerged into this reality or fear of the darkness of this, you know, this is part of Christmas that, you know, we don't see. And he brings it to life here in such detail. Oh, my gracious. I thought this was like, he just painted this sad reality here with such brilliance, like just a masterful stroke of the pen here. It's so raw, real, like authentic. It's just an amazing, amazing show of writing here, Grant G. And just bravo.
Absolutely. And Laurent, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Grant doesn't pull any punches here. He gives it to us straight. And the sad part is that this Christmas Day is no different from any other day. And that's the sad part. It's It's the normal misery, perhaps accented by the holiday in one way or another, but still, it's a normal reality. So even though they go to car parks and camp under bridges, and that's how they'll spend their Christmas day, it's how they spend every day. And that, to me, makes it doubly sad. A really well-written piece.
Absolutely. Great comments. And I'd like to say, of course, thank you to Jean and Naomi for being wonderful co-hosts, and to Jean for everything she does in the background. Thank you to Lauren, Randy, and Wayne for calling in. Thank you to everybody who wrote for the show, who is listening now or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Join us for a half hour from this show, with me and Captain B2, for Late Night with the Midnight Santa spinoffs, and that should be a great show. And I really appreciate everyone so very much, and glad you could be here. And Jean, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Just a great prompt as always, Pam. Excellent contest, great show. Sorry, I was kind of like absent. Well, pretty absent, really absent. But
no worries, I understand that.
You know, but it was wonderful. So great choice of prompts, and I guess we'll see you on the next one.
Yeah, good night, everybody, and great show, great comments, everybody. Thank you. Good night.
Naomi. Have a good one. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Laurent.